Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Let's head right back out to the Hall and Capitas fan hotline where we find Mr. Greg Brown of Pirates fame. Greg, how are you today?
Even better now that I get a chance to talk to you. How are you?
I'm doing great. I thoroughly enjoyed our conversation the other day. July 16th marks the 50th anniversary, or what would have been the 50th birthday of Three Rivers Stadium. It only wound up having a 30-year life, but man, did it pack a lot of memories. And Greg, I'm hoping that you can take us back in time. If you could close your eyes and click your heels and go back to 1979, you're a 19-year-old intern starting at Three Rivers Stadium, and it's not like they gave you nothing to do. Your days were packed. What was a typical day like for Greg Brown in 79?
Well, you know, Joe, I grew up in a, I guess you'd call it a hick town, Mechanicsburg, PA. And I was 18 years old when I started that summer, and it was a dream come true. As I click my heels and think back, growing up a Pirates fan, getting an opportunity to really live out a dream by joining the organization, and getting a chance just to do everything in the not just the promotions department. I was an assistant intern of the promotions department and did every possible job. I was the kid, literally the vice president of operations. Joe Toole called me that. He would always say, get the kid to do it. And because back then, you know, now we've got every organization probably has no less than a dozen or two interns, which is great. But back then, it was a unique situation. You know, kid earning college credits, that just didn't happen back then. And the Pirates were kind enough to do that for me and to hire me. I eventually hooked on full time. But as we talked about the other day, Joe, I did every possible job imaginable. Some of my favorite moments included being up in that sound room with Vince Lashied, who was a longtime organist at Three Rivers, both for Steelers and also Penguin games at the old Igloo. And, so he and I became great friends, but I was kind of in charge once I got the script through our director of promotion, Steve Shanwald, my boss, that we would follow along the script each inning in the bottom of the first, coming up to the plate. Here come the Pirates. Well, my job was to spin the 45 record. Remember those? We had 45 and 33
RPM. Oh, yes.
RPM. Yeah. So I had the 45 single of Paul McCartney's Coming Up. I don't know if you remember that song. Maybe Hammer could figure that out. But, yeah, Paul McCartney's Coming Up was a staple. If the Pirates beat the Chicago Cubs, I would spin after the last out, The Night Chicago Died.
I love that song.
Yep.
Yes.
When Kent Tekulve came in from the bullpen. The Spinners, the Rubber Band Man. So we tried to make it, you know, tie it to much like Vince Lashide, who became really known for his little vignettes that he would play for each player coming up. And so we would coordinate that, with the fireworks guy. It was kind of my job when I was certain a home run was hit to point the toward him in this glass enclosed sound booth, and he would hit the button for the fireworks. And right next door, we could see them through the glass partition, was the scoreboard operation. Early on, it was a matrix operation, and then during my tenure, we got the first video scoreboard. I didn't tell you this, Joe, the other day. I just now came to me. Not only did I then transition into the scoreboard room where I would do editing for highlights and so on, and occasionally June Schout, who was the longtime director, we had two cameramen that roamed Three River Stadium during those early days of the video board, and she would be the director of that. And we were also able to use the home or visiting cameras through the home or road trucks that were on hand. But I also was hired by the Pittsburgh Maulers and did some games for the old Maulers doing
wow.
The scoreboard. So that was cool. And then I got to know Art McKinnon, who was a long-time public address announcer at Forbes Field and then Three River Stadium. He kind of took me under his wing. He had been stricken at a young age with polio, so he was confined to a wheelchair. And as he got up there in years, he was really struggling with longer games, doubleheaders, rain delays really got to him. So he would ask me on occasion, he'd take like an inning off, and he'd have me sit there, and I would announce these players over the public address system at Three River Stadium. Here I am announcing players coming to the plate. And then there was one year that Art really got to the point where he couldn't do it any longer. I was the full-time public address announcer at Three River Stadium. I did that for an entire year. And anyway, so I'm rambling with all the stuff I did, but I clicked my heels and closed my eyes and thought back to those days.
That is amazing. And I spoke with Al Oliver yesterday, as a matter of fact, and asked him for sort of his, you know, quirky remembrances of the place. Like, we all know the Immaculate Reception, and I love hearing stories about that, but what makes it sort of a place like that live on is the little individual personalized memories. And Oliver, first thing he said was the carpeting and the air conditioning in the clubhouse, because we didn't have that at Forbes Field. And Greg, Three River Stadium, even though it got old fast, it was state-of-the-art when it came out, right?
Well, I know, you know, talking to Steve Blass and your conversation with Scoop yesterday, you know, no question confirms that was the idea, that it was state of the art. They transitioned from those old flannel uniforms, the sleeveless, into the pullovers at Three River Stadium, and it was absolutely state of the art that they could transition from baseball to football in, I think they only needed, as I recall, about 6 hours to get it done, the grounds crew, which, by the way, when they first started out, Joe, you can find some old pictures. The grounds crew was like in mustard gold jumpsuits with the letter 3 on everyone's back, each member of the grounds crew for Three River Stadium, just the numeral 3 on the back of their, in air quotes, uniforms. And as we discussed the other day, it was really cool. Kind of growing up, that was my home, Three Rivers, because I worked there every day, really, of the year of my life for 10 years. And though I was like a nomad. I bounced around. Joe, those years I lived in Bridgeville, Green Tree, Mount Lebanon, the North Hills, the North Side, Penn Hills, a time in Mount Washington. So I bounced around all over the place in the Pittsburgh area, but the one constant for me growing up as a young adult, it was Three River Stadium. And when there were opportunities, after, imagine a college kid, after the Steelers play a big Monday night football game against the Houston Oilers, And shortly after the teams leave the field, as the fans are exiting and as they're cleaning up, here I and about a half dozen of my buddies go out onto the turf, and we play touch football under the lights on the artificial turf of Three River Stadium. It just
awesome.
It boggles the mind that you could think that that happened back then.
I love that story. There are two more ones I want you to tell here. So we're going to extend this a little bit. The first is you were an intern, I think, at this time, and you went against company rules by entering a contest to become Pirates announcer for a night next to Lanny Fritteri. How did that go? You turned into a character from Caddyshack, I believe, yes?
Yes, great memory, Joe. You're incredible. That's why you are the intrepid reporter. You're so good at that. But I did go against company rules. I had asked then KDKA's executive producer of Pirates Baseball, Harry O'Toole, one night during a game when I heard that they were doing this, because Jim Rooker's daughter, I think, was graduating from college out west, so he was going to miss a game. So I think it was Lanny's idea that why don't we do a contest, and I'll have three guys do three innings each with me, wannabe announcers. And I asked Harry O'Toole at KDKA, who, by the way, passed away couple months ago, just a really iconic figure in Pittsburgh, Harry. And I said, I want to be an announcer someday. Would you let me enter the contest? And he said, he's a very flamboyant, hilarious guy. He goes, well, if you do, you'd better use a different name. So I went ahead and I, into a recorder, I sent a tape. And there was more to that story, Joe. I at some point, I will tell you the story on or off the air when we have time, because there's a twist to it that I've really never told publicly, but I think by this time the statute of limitations will allow me to tell it. But the short version of that story is that I was one of three winners for the broadcaster for a night contest. And in the Post-Gazette the next day, I'm reading the sports page. In fact, I called Harry and I said, have you read the sports page yet? He goes, no. I said, go to page C2 in Pirate Notes, the last paragraph. And I said, and read it for me. He goes, well, the winners for the broadcaster for a night contest are Albie Oxenrider of Squirrel Hill. And this is a true story. Well, Albie did win. Bill Roth, I think, was the guy's name from Green Tree. And Carl Spackler from Mount Lebanon. And as he's reading that to me, he goes, why are you having me read it? I said, because you're talking to Carl Spackler. He says, what? I said, I'm Carl Spackler. He goes, what are you talking about? I said, I'm one of the three winners. He goes, oh, you're in big trouble. I said, you told me if I entered the contest to use an alias, and I did. Well, anyway, only hardcore Caddyshack fans know that name, because that's Bill Murray's character of the assistant groundskeeper in the movie Caddyshack. Now, eventually, of course, I had to beg out because I got into big trouble. Had to have conference calls with Lanny and Rook and Constantine Grab, the executive vice president of KDKA, called me onto the carpet. And I had to apologize. And I think the next day in the paper, it said Carl Spackler has an illness in the family and will not be able to participate in Broadcaster for a night.
That's the best part.
That is the best part.
I love that. We're down to 2 minutes, Greg. I don't know if you can fit this in, but I'm hoping you can. So you're working your way up. You become producer for Pirates pregame and postgame. And then one night, and the team then was Steve Blass and Mike Lang calling Pirates games. And Mike Lang gives a 26-year-old Greg Brown his big break.
Yeah, I was kind of like the Robbie Insmakowski back then, only I didn't do many hits in-game. I maybe did one or two. I was awful. I did decent pre- and post-game interviews. That was really my job, to do pre- and post-game interviews. That was on the old KBL, the fledgling cable television station for the Pirates, and I traveled with Mike and Steve. We only did probably about a total of 50 games, but there was one time in early June, Mike said, "Dan, listen, kid, I'm not going to be able to do a doubleheader next week, so be ready." I didn't know what he meant, but I always, during the games, most times I would stand in the back of the TV booth at Three Rivers or on the road, and if Steve or Mike needed anything at all, a questionable decision they couldn't hear over the PA system from the official score, I'd run down the steps, get it, and write a note, bring it to them. They wanted a Pepsi or whatever, I'd go down to the press room, grab that for them, anything at all. I was kind of a runner for them. And I heard during this one game, about the fifth inning, I thought I heard anyway, Mike saying, at the end of five, the Pirates lead the match 3-1, and Greg Brown will be next to take you through the next couple of innings. And he takes his headset off, and he starts walking to the back of the booth, and I'm like, out-of-body experience here. What's he doing? And all he says to me is, "Go get him, kid." And he walks out of the booth. And I'm standing there, like, awestruck, like, what's going on here? And suddenly Steve Blass is motioning to me, "Hurry up, get in this seat. We're coming back from a commercial." So I sheepishly go back, sit down in the chair, and I put on a pair of headsets. And the next thing I know, we're back from a commercial, and Steve says, "Well, as promised, here's Greg Brown to take you through the next couple of innings." And wow. So I think it was the most unselfish acts of all time, because Mike got in trouble for that, because the people, the powers that be, had no idea he was going to do that. And, you know, to this day, I said, you know, the reason I'm here, not just Mike, because, you know, Lanny had I know Lanny is the one that recommended me to the Pirates after I did the Bills games up in Buffalo and the Bisons to bring me back as an announcer, but I would not have gotten that tape, a big league broadcast opportunity, without Mike Lang.
What a story. Well, Greg, apparently our friend Horse, a.k.a. Joe Kopp, back in the home office, told me that we have a treat for you on the way out. I don't know what
it
is. Horse, you want to introduce yourself here?
Introduce myself?
Well, yeah,
what's going on here?
Because I call him Hammer. I call him Hammer. You guys call him Horse. But is there a treat of some sort?
It's around, I say. Oh,
heading to the bottom of the first at Three Rivers.
Very nice.
Oh, that's great. Heading to the bottom of the first inning at Three Rivers Stadium. That's what you would hear most nights. That is a special
that
treat.
That is awesome.
That gives me chills.
And you got Peter, Paul, and Mary to sing the anthem one night, huh? Or at least tried? Did you?
That's right. Yeah, well, you know, it was one of my jobs was to book anthem singers. And I'd call the local producers, promoters, and just by chance, if they were performing at Heinz Hall or at the arena, Civic Arena, I'd say, "Hey, you know, is your act coming to town early? Are they baseball fans? Would they be interested in singing the anthem?" And occasionally you'd get a good hit. And you'd come through, and yeah, Peter, Paul, and Mary sang. It's funny because I think Peter, Paul, and Mary sang one time when I was in charge of that, and then a few years later, they were big baseball fans. They came back, but Mary and Peter could not make it for some reason. I think they got ill, but anyway, so Paul Stuckey of Peter, Paul, and Mary had to do it solo. Did the Vogues. I mentioned that story to you. A Pittsburgh locally based group,
and then you mentioned
Pulling the Gang.
Yeah, and some of that I'm going to have in a piece coming up on postgazette.com later today, including your best story that I'm going to save for that piece. Greg, I enjoyed this. That was great.
Joe, always enjoy talking to you. Thank you.
Oh, it's such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.